other for other political, social, and religious viewpoints. Before, he'd lived a circumspect, modestly successful, controlled existence, neither particularly happy nor sad, vaguely content most of the time, occasionally a bit bored, going through the motions. Before, he'd been half alive. That had left the other half. After he'd murdered the man who'd slept with his wife, it had taken him a while to get his bearings. Most of that time was spent worrying about what would happen if he were caught, about what he would tell his children and his wife, how he could justify himself and what he'd done to those he loved. Every day he had lived with the constant fear that the police would catch on to him, that in spite of his best efforts he'd left a clue somewhere, key evidence that would convict him. He worried about going to jail, about spending the rest of his life in prison. He was the sole support of his family. How would they all survive? After, above all, he worried about how he could have turned into the man who could have actually done what he'd done. When the police had found the incriminating evidence, a shell casing from the same make and caliber of the gun he'd used, on the boat of Jeff Cook, his former best friend and partner in the law firm, it had taken him a while to understand. Mystifyingly, Jeff had apparently then used the same weapon to kill himself, which meant that the case was closed. The police no longer believed that he'd done it. He was no longer a suspect. It appeared that his law partner had in fact killed the philandering bastard. When in reality, he came to understand, it had been his wife expertly shifting the blame from him to Jeff, protecting him and their marriage and their family, shooting his law partner and convincingly making it appear to have been a suicide, then planting the incriminating shell on Jeff's boat, which meant that both of them, husband and wife, were killers. And after you murder someone, life is never the same. 1.
Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose.
I hate it when he does that, Wes Farrell said.
Gina Roque nodded.
He knows that, and that's about half the reason he does it.
7/8 of the reason, to be precise, Dismas Hardy said. And Precision is my middle name.
Dismas Precision Hardy, Roque said. It doesn't exactly sing.
He just wants to rub it in that I don't speak French.
That hardly qualifies as French, Hardy replied, since anyone with even half an education should have run into that phrase somewhere and figured out what it meant.
Well, I didn't.
Tant pis pour toi.
Farrell threw his hands up.
I rest my case.
Then to Roque. Maybe this isn't going to work out after all. It means the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Thank you so much, Farrell said, whatever the hell that means.
On this late Tuesday morning in early January, a clear and crisp day outside, the three of them sat around the large mahogany table in the circular conference room of the stately Freeman Building on Sutter Street in downtown San Francisco. Because of its domed glass ceiling that rose to a height of 14 feet above their heads, the space had earned the nickname of the Solarium. The room also featured a forest of assorted indoor plants at its periphery. Dismas Hardy, the nominal host and managing partner of the law firm Hardy & Associates, leaned over and filled Farrell's wine glass with Jordan Cabernet Sauvignon.
That should ease some of your pain. Meanwhile, I'll try not to lapse into French again, since you're so sensitive about it. Although, to be honest, I don't seem to remember sensitivity as your most shining virtue. That was before I was the district attorney. Now I'm sensitive about everything. Do you know how many sensitivity training classes I've taken in the last 8 years?
12, Gina guessed. Farrell shook his head.
17. I counted.
Hardy snorted.
I don't think I even realized there were 17 things to be sensitive about. I mean, after gender and poverty and the homeless, the list shortens up real quick, doesn't it? Oh, except, of course, women.
Watch it, Buster, Roque said, but leavened things with a smile.
Farrell swallowed some wine.
Add at least 4 subsets under each of those, you're still not really close.
You didn't even mention animal rights and those subsets, too. Grandparents' rights, left-handers' rights, fish.
Fish? Hardy asked. Farrell shrugged.
Probably. I tell you, the sensitivity epidemic is out of control.
Hey, Roque said, our firm could have a motto, sensitive about everything.
That would bring in a lot of work, that's for sure.
Hardy sipped at his own wine.
But way to bring a